Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
See, that's the dichotomy we're facing. Here's my faith. It's privatized. It's personal. Oh, but out in the world, I'm not going to express my faith, and therefore our witness is amputated from life. And it must not be. And if there's ever a time for boldness, it is now for us to put on that girdle of truth, for us to know that we have that vest of righteousness that Christ has given to us. And we put on the shoes of peace because we know we have purpose in this life. What is our purpose? To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's our witness. That's our walk. We can't let that be stripped from us as it's happening in our society. Say, well, what's the end result of all this evil that we see? It is destroying the basic Judeo-Christian culture of America.
The truth is, you can't go into battle half-dressed. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young concludes this message, Battle Armor, showing you how every single day you must put on the full armor God has provided if you're going to keep safe from the devil's attacks. It's powerful advice you'll want to hear. Stay with us. But before we get to today's message, we want to tell you about a powerful resource from Dr. Young called Unmasking Evil. This timely sermon series shines a light on the evil and suffering you see around you today and exposes the lies our culture believes that actually wreck people's lives. As you learn from God's Word where evil comes from and how it works, you'll be equipped to stand against evil in your own life and in our culture. We'll send you this 5-message series as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and others all over the world through this program. So call today to request Unmasking Evil when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Battle Armor Part 2.
In Christ, we're right with God, right? Isn't that great? In Christ, we can get right with ourselves. In Christ, we can get right with everybody else. And that's what we put on. And when people look at you and me, they need to see there is somebody who is right with God, right with themselves, and seeks to be right with everybody. That is that righteous. That is our identity. What are you known as? What's your deal? Well, I'm this, I'm that. No, what are you known as? We need to be known as simply soldiers marching in the different direction of the stream of this world who've put on Jesus Christ. And you see that in this protects our heart and our emotions. See, that's what the vest does. It protects us, so we can be protected from the darts, from the evil one that comes. And it's already on us. If we're in Christ, we have to recognize it. Have to recognize it. Then what's the next thing that we put on? We put on the shoes of peace. Wait a minute. Well, you're going to need shoes. You're going to battle. I wouldn't recommend going to battle barefooted, would you? That's not a very good idea. And so you put on shoes, but these shoes are peace. That seems contradictory. You see it? I'm going to war. I'm battling with evil in the world, but I'm putting on peace. How does that work? What gives a warrior peace? You know what it is? Purpose. You can fight when there's a reason to fight. You can go to war when you know there's a purpose bigger than you understand, but a clear purpose as what's going to happen. Therefore, we put on the shoes of peace. It says we've got purpose as we go out to battle, as evil comes in contact with us. Purpose, purpose. And what's happened in our society, in our culture, is that as we have been prohibited by spurious law and judgment from going out in the world with purpose saying, I am on the side of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can't say that in school. Shh. Oh, don't bring it up in the business. Shh. Oh, don't bring it up in the little league. Shh. No, keep all that. See, the world wants us to privatize our faith. The world says, you keep your faith inside the church. And don't bother us out here. We're going to strip everything in this world of God, of Christ. We privatized our faith. I remember Mario Cuomo when he was governor of New York. They asked him about pro-life. Was he pro-choice or pro-life? He said, well, I'm pro-life because the Catholic Church teaches the reverence of life. He said, but that's my private faith. He said, in my public faith, I'm pro-choice because I want all my constituency, the woman, to have the right to choose. See, that's the dichotomy we're facing. Here's my faith. It's privatized. It's personal. Oh, but out in the world, I'm not going to express my faith, and therefore our witness is amputated from life. And it must not be. It cannot be. And if there's ever a time for boldness, it is now for us to put on that girdle of truth. For us to know that we have that vest of righteousness that Christ has given to us. And we put on the shoes of peace because we know we have purpose in this life. What is our purpose? To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's our witness. That's our walk. We can't let that be stripped from us as it's happening in our society. Say, well, what's the end result of all this evil that we see? It is destroying the basic Judeo-Christian culture of America, the foundation upon which this nation came into being. What is culture? Good question. Culture, simply defined, is the glue that holds common values together. Did you get that? You need to know that. Culture is the glue that holds our common values together. And what's happening today is our culture is being disintegrated. It is being taken from us. You say, well, what do we do about it? We go to the Bible, and you know, I've said this tentatively. Let me say it clearly. The Old Testament tells us how God dealt with evil in that day, right? That's the Old Testament. These are stories of God's hand in history dealing with evil in that day. You can look a little slice of biblical history here, and it's so very, very important. Go to 2 Kings chapter number 21. And you have here the Hall of Fame. You have a wonderful king in Hezekiah, godly king. 50 years later, you have a godly king in Josiah. You would think in that little interim period with these two Hall of Fame kings, in the middle, you'd think there'd be biblical prosperity and honesty and integrity, but that's not what you find in the middle. You find the reign of Manasseh, and Manasseh brought evil in the land of Israel and changed the whole culture of Israel. You have the Hall of Fame, two of the kings, in the middle you have the Hall of Shame. And look what the story is of Manasseh. It will sound familiar to us. Verse 21, it says, he did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord dispossessed before the sons of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places, pagan altars, which Hezekiah, his father, had destroyed, and he erected altars for Baal and made an Ashtaroth, as Ahab the king of Israel had done, and worshiped all the host of heaven and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, pagan altars, of which the Lord had said, in Jerusalem I will put my name. Verse 5, for he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts in the house of the Lord, pagan altars. And he made his son pass through the fire. He sacrificed his own son. to fire. He made his son to pass through the fire, practiced witchcraft and used divinations, and dealt with mediums and spiritualists. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking the Lord to anger. This is the reign of Manasseh. Now, what did he do in his day that brought evil and destruction into Israel? Number one, he tore down fences. He tore down walls. He tore down boundaries. Ladies and gentlemen, when you take down a fence, you better do it real, real slowly, because you better think why that fence was put up there in the first place. And when Manasseh began to throw out the Ten Commandments and the worship in the temple, and he began to say, we live in a pluralistic society. I want all these pagan gods and goddesses to be honored, and I'm going to worship them. We're going to put altars in the house of God. We're going to compromise. We're going to be open up our society to anything and everything. It's not just tolerance. It's total acceptance. It's okay. One God is as good as another God. How many times have I heard that? How many times have I heard, you know, there's no difference in Allah and God. We're about to figure out there's a little difference, wouldn't you say, ladies and gentlemen? So this is what we're dealing with. Manasseh just took down fences. All the moral standards, all the things, all we accept everybody, everybody come in, do whatever they, not just tolerance, but acceptance. See, there's a difference. We're tolerant, but we don't accept. We don't take away the moorings of the Constitution and the bylaws, and we no longer have to worry about saying a pledge to the flag, one nation under God, individual liberty. Oh, no, you can't say, listen, this is who we are. This is the pillars upon which America was founded and the pillars upon America was staying. You can't argue with that. Read the Federalist Papers. We are a nation under God. And you start taking down fences, you better figure out why those fences were there in the first place. When you stand against the Ten Commandments, remember, you don't break the Ten Commandments. I don't break the Ten Commandments. They break you and they break me, and they will break our nation. Number one, Manasseh took down fences. Number two, Manasseh. What did he do? Sacrifice the children. Sacrifice his own child to a pagan god or goddess in the valley of Gehenna, which is right there in Jerusalem. It means hell, fire, hell. And can you imagine? They said when they would bring all their children down, which had great value, and they would take them and let them roll out of their arms into those pagan altars and sacrifice those children. There were all kinds of crying and moaning by those children. Some were not just babes. Some were older. They would give their children to these pagan gods and goddesses, and all the pagans around would beat on drums. And they would just shout and do things like that to drown out the cries of the children. Well, what about America? A life is taken in a mother's womb in America, 1,233 every day. Since Roe versus Wade, 1973, over 57 million children, babes, have been killed in their mother's womb. That's metropolitan Houston, about 16 or 17 times if we have 4 million lives killed. Today in America, of all the young people 30 and under, females, 7 of 10 of them have had an abortion. You can tell the direction a nation is going to go by how they treat their children, how they love their children, how special their children are, how sacred indeed is the gift of life. Israel began to be destroyed from within because Manasseh took down fences and Manasseh sacrificed children, even his own child. And the third thing he did, he silenced the voice of the prophets. Extra biblical literature tells us that as Isaiah was speaking against the decadence of Manasseh cut off the head of Isaiah, says extra biblical literature, with a wooden saw. Heard anything like that recently? Heard anything like that recently? To silence the voice of those who will speak out and speak truth into the culture. America, we said, we're a melting pot. That used to be, now we're a salad. Used to be, you know, my daddy was second generation German. My mother, third generation Scot-Irish. I stand up here and I'm not German or Scot-Irish. That's a part of my background and there's some cultural things there. You know, I was born and I'm all of that. I've melted into that. You know, I've melted away all that. I'm an American and you see different culture today. You know, the culture of Texas is not the culture of my home state of Mississippi. We have different cultures. Years ago in Berkeley, there was a young student there, 19 years old. She was born in Shanghai. She was from Russian descent. She's at Berkeley getting an education, brilliant girl, but she had a vivacious personality. She was flirtatious. You know, she loved everybody. She'd hug and kiss the guys, and she bounced around, and that's just her personality. But she met a young Asian student there. He's from a different culture, and in the process, she would just hug and kiss him, and, you know, just casually with a group. And he misinterpreted that. He felt that, you know, they had a romance going. And so then, far as she's concerned, out of the clear blue, he proposed marriage to her. She was stunned. She said, are you joking? And she sort of laughed at him and joked and put him down. And he felt totally humiliated. He felt totally embarrassed. And then ultimately, he became so depressed, he became violent and took her life, killed her. In the trial, his lawyer pleaded insanity, and added to it, this was simply the clash of two cultures. One culture saw romance, the other culture saw friendship, and it was the clash of two cultures that led to the death of this student. See, the closer all the cultures of the world come to us, the closer we get to one another, the more there is a clash of culture, unless a Christian man was visiting Romania right in the middle of the Cold War when Romania was run by a godless Marxist dictator, and if you mentioned God or Christ, he would either take you out or put you in prison. And in this situation, this Christian man was walking down the streets wrapped up. It was cold, wind was blowing. And by himself, he was there on business, and he saw the faces of all those hopeless Romanians, cold, empty, lost, no hope at all, emptiness but under that dictatorship, that godlessness, that poverty. But as he walked through, suddenly he passed a man, and the man was whistling. And he said, he's whistling Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. And so he turned around, and he didn't want to just interrupt him. He didn't know he was being watched as an American there. So he came behind him and walked by him. He started whistling. And the man looked at him, and he began to speak to him, and he saw that he didn't understand him. And then he said, almost as if we had planned it, together we said, and he said, we embraced, and said, he went off whistling. And he said, I went off whistling. He said, all of a sudden, language, race, culture, background, economics, everything was totally disappeared because we were brought together in Jesus Christ. That is the answer, ladies and gentlemen. No matter where we're from, what our background, what country, what nationality, what, it doesn't make any difference. In Jesus Christ, we are brought whole again together in Him as our Lord and as our Savior. Now, in the meantime, in this culture, we need to not walk around with light armor and mud flaps. That's not going to get it. We're going to see how we put on the whole armor, completely clothed with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when that happens, there will be a healing. There will be a battle that has already been won. By the way, I should not tell you this. This is getting, not next week, but the week after. This is a secret, but we're going to experience total victory when we go to the cross Sunday after next. Don't get ahead. And we're going to see a victory that we've never seen, even if we visited the cross before. But that's just a secret. Don't let that out. In the meantime, light armor, mud flaps, not enough. We're going to put on the whole armor, which is Jesus Christ, and we'll be able in an evil world to be the difference makers in bringing people together, in defeating evil, and claiming victory, full victory, as we stand, as Paul said, as we stand in Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Well, before we end today's program, it's great to have Dr. Young in the studio with us to answer a quick question today. Dr. Young, is the fight against Satan usually a personal one-on-one battle, or should we be working together with other believers to repel the enemy?
It's both and. Sometimes the battle is one-on-one, it's private, it's unknown, and then we have to draw on the resources individually of our walk with Christ. It is the Bible, it is prayer. And then finally, there's fellowship. There is the koinonia, there's the family of faith, there's the church. And so often we go there to brothers and sisters in Christ, and we confide in them. We ask them to guide and strengthen us, to lead us through this valley of the shadow of death, which is the valley of the shadow many times of temptation. So it's individual and it's corporate. And if we're going to win this battle, we can't do it alone. We have to do it in the fellowship of other Christians who are in the body of Christ. So it seems to be lonely, but it's really not, because God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is on our side, plus the whole realm of brothers and sisters that we are part of in the family of faith.
That's very helpful. Great. Thanks, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word, and we'd love to strengthen you further with a powerful series by Dr. Young. It's called Unmasking Evil, and he created it to help you face the evil in our culture in a uniquely Christian way by resting in the assurance of God's love for you and the ultimate defeat of evil through the cross. This 5-message series is our thanks for your gift of support to keep this program going strong. So call now to request Unmasking Evil when you give to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Thank you. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. We're glad you joined us today. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Young begins his message, Know Your Weakness, and shares proven truth to help strengthen your walk with Christ where it needs the most support.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world. Connect with us at winningwalk.org. That's winningwalk.org. Give us a call at 1-800-350-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255, 9255, 350, 350-9255.